How's it going, everybody? Bryan Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here all this week. 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, as well as the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network. The list goes on. And again, 7 days a week, we are here leading into the WWE Royal Rumble. This weekend, obviously, as always, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, every single day leading up to the Rumble. We are live here on the air, and the final day will end moments before the WWE Royal Rumble goes on the air. What do we have today? Tons of stuff. We're going to be taking your phone calls after the first break at 855-478-4478. Whatever is on your mind, we'll be discussing on the program today. We can talk the home of WrestleMania 2016, Cowboy Stadium, the former Cowboy Stadium, now the AT&T Stadium. They're looking to break their legendary so-called attendance record of 93,973 fans for WrestleMania 3. That's coming up in 2016. We'll talk about Raw from Monday with the return of Sting, the first ever appearance of Sting on WWE Monday Night Raw, as well as Cena winning the main event to bring back Dolph Ziggler, Eric Rowan, and Ryback. A Brock babyface turn we saw the beginnings of last night on the program. Tonight, of course, SmackDown, Daniel Bryan versus Kane with the Rumble slot on the line for Daniel Bryan. Also, Wrestling with Death on WGN America tonight. Jon Jones was on Fox Sports Live. Sheamus is on the way back. We also have a lot of UFC news if you want to talk about it as well. The return of Mirko Krokop to the UFC. Vanderlei Silva suing the Nevada State Athletic Commission. And of all things, irony of ironies, today the WWE stock hit a 52-week low. It is now trading, I'm not making this up, at $9.99. We can talk about that and so much more today here on the program. Full hour live, so get ready. Coming back after the break with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Bryan Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi is here on the line as well. And Mike, we got a ton of stuff to talk about here today. What did you think of the main event segment on Raw last night?
I thought it was really good. You know, it was a long way to get to that point. I was not enthralled with the show. There's been worse shows in the last couple of weeks, but it was still a long time to get to that point. But once it actually happened, I was quite satisfied. And it more than me, it certainly seemed like the people there and some of the reaction to it online has been very good. So if nothing else, we have that, and it's at least a step forward.
That's right. It was a go-home show for the Royal Rumble, and we've got a full Royal Rumble card here that we can go over here in a few moments. All of the matches, I don't think they're going to add anything else to the show. It's always possible they'll add one more match, but we have six matches. That includes a one-hour-plus Royal Rumble, so we'll get into that in just a moment. But the phones are going crazy, so let's start taking some calls. You're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Bryan. This is Aaron from Oregon.
Aaron from Oregon, what's up?
This may be a dumb question, but it's a minor detail that's bugging me.
No such thing as a dumb question on this show unless it's Ed in San Antonio. Go ahead.
Is Sting not being allowed to use his bat?
You know what? I don't know, but it sure seems that way. I don't think he... Mike, did he come out with the bat at Survivor Series? Do you remember? I don't think he did.
Yeah, I can't remember if he did or not. I'm trying to think of what he pointed, but I'm trying to remember if he did or not. But I got to be honest, they may not be using it right now, but I have a feeling if they make these Sting action figures, I have a feeling he'll have the bat, considering the Usos have a surfboard and things like that. I could see him with the bat.
I mean, come on. If you're going to let Triple H use a sledgehammer as a weapon, I don't see the problem with a bat.
I'm still trying to figure out why in the two-pack of action figures when I was shopping for Avery for Christmas, it was Triple H and Curtis Axel, and it had a broken palate, and I'm trying to remember if they had some sort of forklift match.
They may have. You know, one thing that I will say, though, is that in terms of weapons, if you'll remember, they got very, very upset when Daniel Bryan was choking out, what's his name, with the tie?
Justin Roberts.
Justin Roberts. That was not cool. But Triple H is whacking people with sledgehammers. It may be a deal where the company feels it is very difficult for a child to come by a sledgehammer, so that is an okay weapon. But all kids in Little League and et cetera, they all have baseball bats, and so maybe we don't want to use one of those as a weapon. That is possible. I guess we'll find out is his career progresses towards WrestleMania. Anything else?
No, that's about it. Thanks.
All right, yeah, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, you didn't make it on first today. Better luck next time. What's going on?
I give my Royal Rumble predictions.
All right.
My prediction is Dean Ambrose is going to be the one that eliminates Roman Reigns. And the storyline is that the reason why he does it is because last year, Roman Reigns eliminated Dean Ambrose.
I see. So you don't think Dean Ambrose is winning the Royal Rumble?
No, but Dean Ambrose is to eliminate Roman Reigns.
I'm sorry, so Roman Reigns won't win the Rumble. So who's going to win if not Roman Reigns?
Daniel Bryan's the one he's to go on to wrestle John Cena at WrestleMania.
Daniel Bryan against John Cena? Not even Daniel Bryan against Brock or Seth Rollins?
That match has been done too many times on SmackDown already between Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan, and Brock Lesnar's turning face. I don't think that would work out too well. I think they're going to give him the Rusev at WrestleMania, Rusev and Brock Lesnar.
Brock and Rusev. Well, that would be a slobber knocker. Mike, what do you think of these predictions here?
I don't know. I would need Rusev then to go over Brock if Brock's leaving. I don't think I want to snap Rusev's streak with an exiting Brock Lesnar there. But I don't know. You know, the thing with Reigns and Ambrose going heel wouldn't shock me really at all, because you are going to have that logjam when it comes to the good guy side of the roster. You have, you know, Cena and Bryan and Orton, and Brock looks like he's turning babyface, and Roman Reigns and Ziggler and Ryback. So, you know, you are going to have a situation there where, you know, if I could see Ambrose turning dirty, and that would be a way to do it there and have him dump it out. But I guess who knows?
855-478-4478. Want to thank Ryan for the call. The card for the Royal Rumble thus far. Obviously, we have the Royal Rumble match and the official entrance thus far. Include Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, Rusev, Bray Wyatt, Bad News Barrett, Dean Ambrose, Goldust, Stardust, Big Show, Kane, Miz, Mizdow, and R-Truth. And I don't know where that confirmed entrant Miz and Mizdow. I don't trust this Wikipedia here, because we were told yesterday that Miz and Mizdow are not, in fact, in the Rumble. Maybe that's been added in the last 24 hours on WWE.com. Maybe you can go up there and check that out, Mike. But that is the confirmed entrance listed here for the Rumble, so I guess we'll see. We've got the New Age Outlaws against the Ascension, playing off the segment last night where all the old guys destroyed the Ascension, made them look like fools. Tag team match on the show. Paige and Natalya against the Bellas in a tag match. The Usos against the Miz and Damian Mizdow in what will probably be about their 22nd or 23rd match in the last 8 weeks. And that's not, I'm not making that stat up. I swear to you, in the last 7 weeks, they've had, what was it? How many matches did I have last night? I actually had my stat here in front of me. I'll have to find it. I'll give you the stat in a second, everybody. We have the three-way Lesnar, Cena, and Rollins for the WWE title, and the New Day against Tyson Kidd, Cesaro, and Adam Rose. All of these are on the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, and as noted, probably nothing else, but you never know. We'll have more Royal Rumble participants probably tonight.
Yeah, with the taping of SmackDown, which will, I guess will air in Canada on Wednesday and air on in America on Thursday. So, yeah, I'm sure some things will get tied up here. At least I would hope so.
All right, so here's my stat. This is, by my count, I may have missed one or two, but in terms of televised matches, in the last 7 weeks, there has been a televised match involving a Miz and an Uso 14 times. An average of 2 television matches every single week involving Miz and an Uso. That's not counting these 7 that have been done on live events. So we're talking 21 matches in 7 weeks between these men.
And shame on me for complaining about the Young Bucks and the Time Splitters and Fish and O'Reilly when it comes to New Japan.
Somebody, I don't know if they tweeted me or they emailed me, but they said that they were watching Raw. And last night, Miz and Jey Uso came out for a match, and he said his girlfriend just said, "Again?" And that's what I thought. And nobody in the audience cared about that match. And now you know why. When two
Mizdow,
guys,
by the way, in the Rumble.
He is in the Rumble. There you go.
That's according to WWE.com.
All right. Well, maybe they are going to do our idea then. That would be very exciting. As of yesterday, they weren't in the Rumble, so I'm liking the idea that my idea has resulted in those two men being put in the Rumble. All right, to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, how you doing, Brian? And how you doing, Michael? How y'all doing today?
Is this Vinny V's biggest fan?
Of course it is, man. Who else would call you?
Well, a lot of people, but I'm glad that you have called us here today. What's on your mind?
I got a question about Vince McMahon and his booking for the past couple of months, especially when the new title coming in, especially from NXT. Is he personally trying to downgrade the booking of the new superstars like the Ascension? I'm not saying that they are great superstars, but they didn't make it look like geeks for the past. Since they come up, and I just don't understand. You got new talent. I'm not saying all the talent is going to be great, but they've been treating them like geeks for the past 2 years, except for Seth Rollins, which he's kind of looks like a geek, but he's supposed to look like one because he's a heel. Everybody else has been looking like a geek up and down. Then they get on a good road, then they come back down, and then they get on and look like geeks, then they come back.
Okay, hold on. Stand by for a second. Actually, we have to head to a break, but I want to keep you on the line because we got to talk about this. So stay on the line during the break. You're on hold. We'll pick you up when we get back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Elver is here. WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Sadly, Vinny V's biggest fan dropped off the line, and so we cannot continue our conversation with him. But I will say this. I would be very surprised, shocked, in fact, and I can almost guarantee that if anybody thinks Vince McMahon is watching NXT television every week, I don't know what to tell you. Vince is, he's got a lot of things on his plate. He's working on a lot of different WWE, Raw, SmackDown, house show, business-related projects. I don't think he watches NXT. And so I'm not saying that he doesn't know what's going on down there. Obviously, he's got a, you know, he's got some awareness of all the guys and everything like that. But there are going to be acts, and there have been plenty of them. Adam Rose, for example. And in fact, the list goes on of guys that have been brought up from NXT and haven't done a whole heck of a lot. And when you think about the Ascension's in a bad spot because they've been given a gimmick. They've been given goofy names. They've been given goofy face paint. They're being called up to the main roster, and they're comparing themselves to teams like the Road Warriors. And I have nothing against Connor and Victor. Victor is actually a very good worker, but when Victor takes off the shoulder pads and everything like that, he does not have a Road Warrior physique. And don't think for one second that I am suggesting that anybody get on any illegal drugs or anything like that. All I'm saying is that he's a rather skinny guy, and everybody listening to this right now knows exactly what Vince McMahon thinks about guys who are skinny or short or fat or anything other than a guy who looks like, of all people, the most successful guy that's been pulled up from NXT so far, Seth Rollins. Everybody knows what Vince likes in a superstar. He wants them to have long hair, or at least a good head of hair, and a great physique, and abs, and he wants them to be able to be a good promo reading scripted lines. If you don't fall into that, it doesn't matter how popular you were in NXT or what a great worker you were, you may run into a brick wall when you get called up to NXT. Now, maybe there's something in Vince McMahon where he's such a competitive person that he has this desire to prove that these guys in NXT are not better than his guys in WWE, and so he has to humiliate them in certain ways. I don't know about that sort of psychology, but the Ascension and all of these different guys, they get called up to NXT and flounder. These guys are not the first, and they will not be the last. That's just the way this company works.
No, and forget about the physique. He just doesn't have the presence. You know, even if he probably had the physique, it still wouldn't work. And they were, You know, with Adam Rose, it was a matter of you're pulling a guy up, and it's a great shtick that worked well, you know, in that smaller building with the people being able to sing along and get behind it. And they had seen him as Leo Kruger for so long that, you know, the switch, and it was like overnight. I mean, as soon as he switched from Leo Kruger to Adam Rose, you forgot about Leo Kruger. But then, you know, would that play on a bigger stage? And obviously it has not. And that's what really, you know, got him when it comes to the Ascension. You know, I can see them. What else are you going to do with these guys, you know, unless NXT becomes like a nationwide touring sort of thing where, okay, they can be there and be a team just to hang out and stuff like that. But it got to the point with them with what are you going to do with them? And, you know, bringing them up to the main roster, I could not understand why, you know, with Booker T and Cole seemed to be defending them while JBL didn't. But it all kind of led to last night. And, you know, the match with the New Age Outlaws, obviously the New Age Outlaws, you know, looked good against, it was a Goldust and Stardust and the Usos, and they did some stuff like that, which was cool and everything. But, you know, their ceiling seems to be very limited.
And man, when you talk about presence, how is a guy supposed to have any presence when his gimmick is that he is a low rent demolition knockoff? They bury the guys on commentary. They treat them like fools. How's a guy supposed to come out with any confidence whatsoever when he's being buried on television every week in commentary?
Hey, it's a lot of guys have had to deal with that, and there's no intelligent answer to that of why you would do something like that. Then if you're burying them like that, unless they're going to be pure jobbers, why are they there? Why do I want to watch losers on my TV?
855-478-4478 is the phone number, toll free. In the U.S. and Canada, if you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian and Mike. This is Danny Hernandez from Dallas, Texas.
What's up, Danny? What's happening?
Well, big news. First of all, I went to Raw yesterday. It was a legit sellout. Everybody was elbow to elbow, so it's good. The Raw reunion worked as a gate. I want to talk about WrestleMania 32. They announced it, I guess, this morning. It's happening next year. Town 16, and like if you've seen like their WWE.com's like breaking news, like they keep flashing like they want to challenge the WWE universe to break the attendance figure of WrestleMania 3. Now first, like whatever number they had, like the fake number of 93,000, it'd be very tough for them to top. Because the one thing that WrestleMania 3 doesn't have, which most WrestleManias now do and Raw does, that WrestleMania 3 didn't have the massive stage. When I was at Raw yesterday, I never noticed when they have the big like set, the stage, like how many seats and behind the stage they tarp off. So, you know, and plus the draw at Cowboy Stadium is the big screen. Like if you've seen like the college football championship, they can launch fireworks from the big Jumbotron, you know, like that's a big draw. Basically, my question is, you know, is it very possible? And then what's your thoughts on the actual stadium itself? Like it's been around for a couple of years now. What are your thoughts on the Cowboy Stadium?
Well, here's the thing. If you wanted to, you could set up the building for over 100,000 people, because all you got to do is put a wrestling ring in the middle of it, and you can really, really move the stage back as far as you can. And if they have 92,000 people in there, they are going to announce 110. So one way or the other, I think they're going to announce that they've broken the record.
Well, you say, which is what they would need anyway. George Strait drew almost 105,000 people. The biggest for the NFL has been 105,000. And I think the biggest overall has been the NBA All-Star Game, which was almost 109,000. It was 108,713. So no matter what, them going in there, I can't see them not announcing 110,000 people.
No, and the funny thing is the WrestleMania 3 attendance, the 93,173, as everyone is well aware or should be, and I cannot wait to see Twitter blow up when I say this because it always happens, but the real number was 78,000. And ironically, they broke that record in 1992 when they did SummerSlam from Wembley, and I believe they drew about 80,000 for that show. So the real attendance record, the actual legitimate attendance record for WWE is 80,000 fans. And I think there is, it's funny because they're going to lie about the number for WrestleMania in Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium, but there is, I would say, no chance that they don't legitimately break their own attendance record. They will do more than 80,000 people at Cowboys Stadium, and they will legit break the record. And whatever they say in terms of fake numbers is whatever they say, but they will set a record guaranteed next year.
And there's nowhere to go from there, really, you know, in any sort of building. I mean,
what are you talking about? They go to Pyongyang.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, Azteca Stadium, I mean, I think Chavez and Haugen still own that record of, you know, it was over 130,000 people that were shoved in there. But yeah, I guess you could go to North Korea. Can you imagine Vince and Kim Jong getting together on a deal?
Oh, man, what a meeting of the minds that would be. Let's head to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is Brandon in San Antonio. First time, long time.
San Antonio, what's happening? Do you know a guy named Ed?
I hear him all the time talking to women's wrestling, but I never met him.
How about that?
Probably for the best.
It is probably for the best. He'll take you to some hunted locations, I hear today on Twitter. Don't even know what that means, cool. But anyway, go on.
Hey, so you guys might have talked about it on the show you had with Dave, but I was just wanting to know your thoughts on the John Jones interview or if you've even seen it.
I have seen it. Mike, have you seen John Jones on Fox Sports Live?
Yes, I have.
Okay, first off, I mean this in the nicest way possible, but whoever the woman was who was interviewing John Jones, like, I could barely even take the entire interview seriously because of the way that this woman, it was like she was doing an audition for Law & Order.
Thompson.
That's right. She was sternly asking him the pressing questions and giving him the death stare. I mean, I could not take the interview seriously. And then on top of that, everything he was saying was just, it was exactly, if anybody would have sat down and wrote out a scripted John Jones interview coming off a cocaine test failure, that's what you got. This was literally like a television show. It's like I got a 20-minute screener of a television show, like a scripted drama. That's what I got. What did you think, caller?
You know what? The reason, I didn't actually get to see the whole thing. I kind of forgot about it. I happened to flip it on Fox Sports, and then I just saw the very tail end of it. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to. And I didn't see a replay or anything like that. So
it's on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. You can go up there and watch the entire thing.
On top of that, I don't think the edits, what they did camera-wise, did it any favors either, because it just, I don't know.
Yeah, it was the way they cut it, it was so blatantly edited. Yeah, it's something
else.
So
that's really all I had.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks for calling in for the first time as well. Anything else on that interview, Mike?
No, I liked how, you know, he answers for Cormier when he came to the TE part. And I did like him throwing, I'm not saying he threw one of his brothers under the bus or anything like that, but it's, you know, the deflection of, you know, my brother's telling me that, you know, one of my brothers tells me that, you know, he sees a lot of this in the NFL. Really, you know?
Classic. All right, we're going to head to a break, everybody. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Elber is here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi here as well, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every single day this week, Monday through Friday at 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, as well as Saturday and Sunday, Saturday mornings every week, 10 a.m. Pacific, and 1 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, and we will be replaying today, by the way, at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And for the latest news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, our website is the place to go, the number one website in the world for pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news, WrestlingObserver.com. Not only do you get daily news updates, but if you like Wrestling Observer Live, you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. I do two radio shows every single day. Up there on the website, we have interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. Everybody from Steve Austin to Bruno Sammartino, Jim Ross, John Cena has been on there. The list goes on and on. Daniel Bryan, all of these available in the archives. We have over 7,000 hours of audio in the archives. Every single solitary show that we have done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives, plus all of the brand new shows. You can download these to your phone. You can listen to the audio on the way to and from work while you work out at the gym. Wherever you listen to audio, if you're a fan of wrestling or mixed martial arts, this is the number one website in the entire world for fans of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. So head up there and check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. There's a lot of free stuff up there as well. As a subscriber, you also get full access to the Wrestling Observer newsletter and Figure Four Weekly. There's so much great stuff up there, so check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Support this show by subscribing to the website. Mike, tonight is SmackDown, and last night, Daniel Bryan got pinned by Bray Wyatt. Keep in mind, this was the first appearance of Daniel Bryan on Raw since he was stripped of the WWE World Heavyweight title, and he lost to Bray Wyatt after Kane interfered. So I can only presume that all of my ideas, I mean, they're already out the window that I gave yesterday because they've already brought back Ziggler, Rowan, and Ryback. But tonight, it looks like Daniel Bryan is, in fact, just going to beat Kane, and he will be on his way to the Royal Rumble.
Sure, why not?
Even Stephen booking, as always.
Unless Bray Wyatt is going to, even then, it's a stupid idea. It's like when John Cena laid waste to all the Wyatts, you know, after the Lesnar loss. It's like, you know, you couldn't figure out three other guys on the roster to do this with. It could have been Adam Rose, the Bunny, and a Rosebud, for God's sakes. But, you know, the only positive spin I guess I will try to put on this is, you know, I don't foresee Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker. I just don't. But I could see Bray Wyatt and Brock if you need something for him to do. I guess you could do, you know, Bray and Orton and try to set something up where you're going to try to make Bray strong. It just, it's to me, I don't know why you would do it. And if you are going to do something like that, you know, it should have been his very first match back, because you could have spun it, I guess, in more of a sporting way or a New Japan sort of way where, you know, after a long layoff, he comes back, he's got ring rust, something like that, and he goes out and loses to a solid guy or something like that. But I don't know. It's not something I would have did. But then again, they do a lot of things I wouldn't have done.
By the way, I just got a tweet here from Larry, who has alerted me that if you go to WWE.com/Canada, it is now available. The WWE Network, available online on desktops and laptops in Canada. WWE fans in Canada can now enjoy WWE Network's 24/7 programming, all 12 live pay-per-view events, including Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series, and hours upon hours of on-demand content on their desktop and laptop computers. Sign up now at WWE.com/Canada to watch online, as well as on Rogers Cable and Eastlink on your television. So if you're listening in Canada right now, you can now get the streaming version of the WWE Network on your desktop or laptop computer, which I presume gives you the ability to airplay it, etc., to your television set. So there you go, available in Canada. And I'll see if I can find out the price. $11.99 Canadian per month, not $9.99.
Yeah, but in fairness, I mean, they're really hurting themselves because that's only like $4, right?
It was when I was wrestling up there. I don't know what it is now. At least that's what they claim to me. By the way, the WWE stock today, $9.99. That is the lowest it has been.
That was a legitimate number, by the way, folks.
Yeah, I'm not making that up. $9.99, the WWE stock. It is its lowest number in 52 weeks. And in looking at the stock market in general today, it is a little bit down, but this is a 52-week low, everybody. The stock market is not at a 52-week low. And my guess, I don't know this, my guess is a lot of people, and I'm one of them, by the way, a lot of people are expecting not a very good number when the WWE announces how many subscribers it had on December 31st of this year. I am expecting that number to be, let me think about this, I would say between 550 and 650 is my prediction for that WWE Network number at the end of December. We'll see. But I don't think it's going to be very good, and I think that others do not feel it's going to be very good as well, hence the low stock price here today.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with the free month, I'm sure they got a lot of signups and things like that. But as you had talked about, and as we talked about on this show, as well as other shows, what was the reason to watch in December? You know, you get the free month, all you have to do is cancel. I'm not going to pay $10. And if you were going to get it back, you'd probably be doing it sometime, you know, around now to get the Royal Rumble and go on from there. So, yeah, it's circumstance and timing isn't very good. And considering what you know, Stephanie and George Barrios and they keep, you know, they have that inflated number that they're putting out there worldwide. And even with the UK coming on board and things in Ireland coming on board, I still, you know, they're not going to be anywhere near the number that they're trying to tout. And I just kind of wish for their own sake and their own stock that they would stop that.
I should add, by the way, that we have an update here on Twitter from Gregory, who says, regarding the WWE Network in Canada, you still have to be a cable subscriber, but now you can authenticate through WWE and get the entire on-demand library. So if you're a subscriber to the cable version of the WWE Network, you have a very limited on-demand library, but you can now authenticate through this WWE Network online, and it is you get the entire library. So it's confirmed here, or Gregory adds, still limited legal availability in Canada, but if you get it, you can now get everything, plus you get the TV channel. So that is the update in terms of the WWE Network, which actually would not be the worst idea. If they could sign a deal here in the U.S. where if you, they would have like an over-the-air television channel, the original idea for a WWE Network, but it would have a limited on-demand library. It would largely be the live stream. And then if you went online and authenticated, you could get the entire library on your computer, laptop, etc. That would be a great idea here for the U.S. as well, but I don't know if that's going to be the direction they're heading.
Yeah, and I don't know. I liked initially when there was being knocked around over, you know, the possibility of them taking over a cable channel. It's like, well, I don't know. I don't know exactly what goes into Universal HD, but they were, and I believe they still do replay Raw, and they replay SmackDown on the weekend, and they would have those long blocks of that on Saturday night. That wasn't the worst idea in the world. Now, I don't know how much it would have cost to do that and not in their pockets or anything like that. So I'm not sure what the cost would have been, but you know, having something like that, that would be on a basic sports tier. So if you're going to pay the extra, however much it would be, $5 or $6 a month to get the NFL Network, to get the NBA on, or NBA, whatever they call their league channel and all that sort of stuff, the NHL Network. I don't think that would have been the worst idea in the world.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Jay in Vancouver.
Jay, what's up?
Not too much. I'm a little bit out of the loop with some of the news in terms of New Japan. I've been overseas for a bit. But in terms of the English commentating, are they going to continue with all their big upcoming shows to provide English commentary live? Or is that just a one-time thing for Wrestle Kingdom 9?
Well, we don't even know if they're going to be doing other upcoming events on pay-per-view. I think they announced, are they doing the G1? What did they announce, Mike? I can't recall everything that they announced as far as pay-per-view.
I'm not sure if anything's even in stone about that, because G1's a multiple, you know, takes over the span of 2 weeks. I mean, they could be doing a best of or something like that, but I don't even think anything is rock solid there. I know everybody involved seems like they would want to do it again. Certainly Jim Ross has been on the record as stating he would absolutely do it again if there happens to be one. But there's nothing in stone right now.
Essentially what we have to do is we have to wait for the buy rate to come in. If they did over 10,000 buys for Wrestle Kingdom, they're probably going to do it again. If they did less than 10,000 buys, they may not do it again. It is possible if they did like 8,000, they may end up doing it again, if only because 8,000 is an indication. I believe we may have been knocked off the air here.
Huh.
Standby caller for 1 second. I'm going to try to get us back here on the air. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And as we were talking about before the break, Wrestle Kingdom, it's all going to come down to whether or not the show did 10,000 to 12,000 buys. If it does, it will probably, we will see another pay-per-view with English commentary here in the U.S., and if not, we probably won't, unless they do something just under 10,000. Maybe they do 8,000 or something like that. And they come to the conclusion that maybe the reason we didn't hit 10 was because everybody had such a hard time ordering the show. There were a lot of people that had difficulties ordering the show on pay-per-view. The Flips app was a disaster. A lot of people ended up watching the show on NJPWWorld.com. So
Which
if
that
they,
was an undercut as well there, too.
It was what?
That was a big undercut to them, too. You know, all the hardcore, you know, New Japan fans, obviously we're already paying 999 yen a month to go get that service, and that didn't do Jarrett and GFW any favors.
That's right. So we'll see what the future of New Japan on pay-per-view is. I certainly hope they run again. I hope that everybody is watching New Japan on Access and that series gets renewed, because the first one was Friday night and it was awesome. I've already seen episode 3, which airs this coming Friday, by the way. They're doing episode 2 and episode 3 back-to-back. And then I think the week after they're going to play episode 3 again. But episode 3 is just outstanding. So make sure you're checking that out on Friday nights. Head-to-head with TNA on Destination America, by the way, for those of you that are TNA fans. And Mike, have you watched a single episode of TNA on Destination America yet?
Still just the first one. I do have the second one now, and I heard Dave talk about it. So I do want to see it, and because he said it, at least it, you know, the show moves. It's not great or anything like that, but at least it moves. So I do want to try to check that out, because I won't be watching Wrestling with Death tonight.
Did you watch the first one?
I made it through, because they had I made it through 15 minutes, and it was like a remedial 6 feet under meets Ozarks Championship Wrestling. The thing that impressed me the most
was
your boy, after God knows what, 15 years of having his hair with the dye in it. I can't believe it hasn't all fallen out at this point.
Well, you know, when you dye your hair, Mike, you just got to be careful not to overprocess it. And Derek King is an expert hair dyer.
Convertible blonde for life.
That's right. Wrestling with Death is on WGN America, everybody, if you want to check it out. Derek King, who was on our show last week, is a great guy. I haven't seen the show yet. Mike was not a huge fan, but you can check that out on WGN.
Brian, have you ever seen a dead body?
I mean, I'm not in real life.
Well,
I don't
believe.
I mean,
show.
I've been to funerals before.
You will on this show.
I have heard there are a lot of dead bodies on the program. It's called Wrestling with Death, about a family that runs a local wrestling organization, and they also work at a mortuary. It's the real life pallbearers, although Paul Bearer was a real life pallbearer as well. That was his real job. And I always remember when Paul Bearer was still alive, he came on the show several times. And he told the story about how even after his big WWE television runs, he would still be working at the mortuary, at the funeral home. And he said that people would come in and they would be very, very sad, obviously. But then all of a sudden they would notice that the person working on their bereaved was, in fact, Paul Bearer. And he said it was so fascinating to people that it really made him happy to be able to make these people feel better by being Paul Bearer for the mortuary services. So he was very happy about that.
Remember when my father passed away, I could have sworn one of the Paul Bearers was actually Todd Champion of
really?
WCW. Yes.
Well, did you go up and check? Could have been.
He said he was not.
I see.
You know, and I believe him, and you know what? I had more going on at that time, but I could have sworn it was Tom Champion.
All right, everybody, we got to wrap it up. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show here every day this week at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, Sports Byline USA. Also, for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, later on tonight with Vinny and Craig, I'll be up talking Nitro, Raw and Nitro. It's going to be a fun time, so check that out. Want to thank Mike, all the callers, Sports Byline, everybody working there. We'll be back tomorrow with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.